Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning and welcome to Good News in the Morning. I am so glad that you joined into the program today. My name is Brent Russett. I am the lead pastor at Sunnyside Wesleyan Church here in Ottawa, and I've been pastoring there for 27 years. And one of the things that I love to do is show how God's Word that was written a long time ago connects with our world right now. And I want to thank Bruce Newman for sponsoring today's program, and he wants to give a shout-out to Jericho Road Christian Ministries. Jericho Road is a local charity that exists to serve the poor and the addicted and the mentally ill, and it really is an amazing ministry, and they do a wonderful job in our city. So thank you, Bruce, and thank you, Jericho Road. I know some of you who are listening have been followers of Jesus for a really long time. And I know that others of you think of yourself as spiritual, but you're not really sure about this Christian thing. And I know others of you are just curious of how people of faith think. And I trust that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, that you'll find this program interesting and informative. And I believe that for those of you who would desire it, that God can use His Word and programs like these to help you take another step closer to Him. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, taking another step on your spiritual journey. In fact, I want to ask the question, how are people spiritually formed? Now, I've read a lot of books on the subject. I've talked with a lot of people on the subject. I've done a lot of writing on the subject. And what I found is, in some ways, it's really, really simple. If you're going to be spiritually formed, then you need to follow Jesus, do what He says. And in other ways, it's really complicated because, well, we live in kind of a complicated world and with a sin nature. And we live in brokenness, and we're all broken in different ways. And so that means that our spiritual formation takes place in different ways. You know, sometimes I feel like, well, I'm following Jesus, and yet I'm walking with a limp. There are things that drag me down, or circumstances, or personality issues, or challenges, or particular life choices that make me what I am. And some of them have made it easier to follow Jesus, and others have made it harder to follow Jesus. And in the middle of life, I'm asking the question, well, how are we spiritually formed? Or put it another way, how do we walk into our relationship with God so that we're living out our lives the way that He intended, that we're living out the abundant life, the full life, a life that makes a difference? Becoming spiritually formed, as you know, is a journey. And the first step towards Christian spiritual formation is to give your life to Jesus. You ask Jesus to come into your heart. You ask Him to forgive you of your sin. You choose to follow Him. That's what the Bible calls being born again. You're given the Holy Spirit. You're adopted into the family of God. You're transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When that happens, and when you make that decision, and when you receive Jesus into your life by faith, then you are made a child of God. But you're still an infant in Christ, a babe in Christ. There is so much growing up and maturing that needs to happen. There's still a long journey ahead of you. And so I want to talk about what that journey looks like and how you can cooperate with God on that journey. Well, Jesus told a story. It was about a story of a farmer who went into his field and he sowed seed. Some seed fell on the path, some on the rocky ground. Some seed fell amongst weeds, and other seed fell in good soil. And as you might guess, those seeds grew very differently. Here's how Jesus explains the point of his story in Matthew chapter 13, verse 18. Well, now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. The devil comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among thorns represent those who hear God's words, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by worries of this life and the lure of wealth, and no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word, and it produces a harvest of 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. Some hear the gospel and, well, they don't really respond. Others hear the gospel and they run with it for a little while, but when the going gets tough, their spiritual life withers and dies. Some people continue to grow, but then they have the weeds that grow alongside of them, and their spiritual life gets choked out. And some thrive. If you're going to be formed spiritually as a Christian, you start by receiving the good news that God loves you and has done everything that needs to be done so that you can have a relationship with him. We have been so warped by sin that we can't connect to God, but Jesus came into the world and took our sin and gave us his goodness. And if you will receive the work that Jesus did on your behalf by faith, Jesus forgives your sins and gives you new life. That's the good news. That's the seed that's being sown. That's the seed that's being responded to. That's the gospel in a nutshell. But even when you receive Jesus, you have to be spiritually formed. You have to grow up spiritually. So how is it that we're spiritually formed? How is it that we grow up in Christ? Well, the reality is that a lot of Christians don't. You know, you may be a Christian for 30 years, but that does not mean that you have matured spiritually. I used to know a preacher who said that if people went to the Sunday school class that was based on their spiritual maturity, a lot of 50-year-olds would be in the primary class. A lot of people just don't grow up spiritually, and it's sad. You know, when I take a look at American Evangelical and follow my Facebook feed, and there just seems to be a sickening feeling that comes over me. If you've been spiritually formed, as the Bible says, you hate what is evil and cling to what is good. No, it doesn't say that you hate those who are evil. I see a lot of hating of people and a lot less hating of evil. That's not what it means to be spiritually formed. When people refuse to grow up spiritually, it ends up giving Jesus a bad name. And he so doesn't deserve that. Now, Christian Canadians are not immune to this either, so our sins are just a little nuanced differently. But the amount of Christians in Canada who don't know their Bibles is staggering, and you really can't become spiritually formed, at least Christianly, if you're not into the Scriptures. The amount of Christians who set themselves up as judges of the Word of God rather than the other way around is incredible. You know, Christian culture is... Canadian culture is slanted towards the common good, so we sometimes deceive ourselves of how enlightened we are, but we wonder how we'll handle life when it gets hard. See, when Christians fail to grow up spiritually, it has a way of giving God a bad name. I know a lot of people who, when they get to know Jesus, they really love him, but they're just not sure of church people, and I find that really sad because we're meant to reflect Jesus. We're meant to be like him. So the question is, how do you grow up spiritually? How do you become spiritually formed? Well, there's basic things like praying and reading Scripture. There are important things like connecting with other believers and learning to love one another. But this morning, I want to give you some ways of looking at the spiritual life and of growing that you may have passed over in your spiritual journey. Before we go there, we're going to listen to a prayer that's set to music. It's called Purify My Heart.
Purify my heart. Let me be as gold, and precious silver, purify my heart. Let me be as gold, pure gold, refiner's fire. My heart's one desire is to be
talking about how to be spiritually formed. I want to take you to Romans chapter 8, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, and here's what it says. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. So there is therefore now no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. When it comes to being spiritually formed, here's the starting point. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. When it comes to spiritual formation as a Christian, you start and you live in a place where you are accepted by God. You start in a place where you are loved by God. You start in a place where you are forgiven by God. And even when you sin, and even when you fall, and even when you blow it, and even when you do that again and again, that does not diminish God's acceptance of you. That does not diminish God's forgiveness. That does not diminish God's love for you. God continues to love you. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Becoming spiritually formed is not about being accepted by God. It's about you loving God and returning his love for you. And then in that love, becoming all that you were meant to be. Does sin, does that diminish the horrible nature of sin? No, Jesus died because of our sin. Sin is that can never be taken lightly, but in spite of our sin, in spite of our failure, we are accepted by God. We belong to God. We are loved deeply and dearly by God. I know some of you struggle trying to please God, and some of you even try to earn God's love, and some of you try to earn God's acceptance, and because that's the way that you've learned that life is. You know, you had to earn your parents' acceptance, or you had to earn your boss's acceptance, and you think, well, God must be the same way. I would tell you, no, God's very different. Can I urge you to ask God just one question? What would it look like for me to love you? God loves you so much, and he longs for you to love him in return. It's not that you're trying to earn God's acceptance or pacify him with your behavior. He is a God who loves you, and he's just inviting you to love him in return. He has done everything that you need so that you can have a relationship with him. What he's longing for is for you to walk into that relationship. You don't earn his favor. You have it. It's not about being good enough for God. You can't be good enough for God. God's grace is unmerited favor towards you, is just there. It's about loving God because God just loves you. This is the first thing you know. You need to know about being spiritually formed. Don't worry about performing for God. Just love God. The second thing I want you to know is that your spiritual life, oftentimes when we talk about it, we talk about our heart or the spiritual realities around us, but your spiritual life has a lot more to do with your body than you might think. I know we tend to think about our hearts first, and you know, when you become a Christian, we talk about giving our hearts to God or giving our lives to God. But to be formed as a Christian, it has a lot to do with your body. I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 6. The Apostle Paul is writing here, and he says, verse 12, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey it its evil desires. Do not offer any part of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law but under grace." When Paul talks about how to live out our spiritual life, it starts off with the body. He says in Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Well, prayer is important. Scripture reading is important. How we think is important. But Paul starts out with our bodies. He says, don't let sin reign in your mortal bodies. Don't offer any part of your bodies to sin. What does that mean? Well, there's a number of ways to think about that. There are a number of ways to think about your body. You can think about your body as how you bring your will to bear on this world. You know, you can make choices and you use your body to enact those choices. You can do harm and you can do good with your body. So when it says don't let sin reign in your body, don't use your body to do sinful things. Don't make sinful choices. Don't do bad stuff. Well, duh. You know, that's not profound. Don't do evil. But not only does your body bring your will to bear on this world, but it goes the other way too. Your body shapes your soul. Your body is the input apparatus for your soul. Or to put it another way, much of what affects your soul comes through your body's five senses: sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell. When it says don't offer any part of your body to sin, one of the ways of thinking of that is, well, don't offer your senses to what is sinful. See, your body is the doorway to your soul, and your soul is being formed by what it sees and hears and touches and tastes and smell. Don't offer your senses to sin. Well, the problem, of course, with that is that we live in a world where, you know, sin is all around us. The internet has given us the ability to offer our bodies to sin through a simple act of a click of a mouse. Think about what you see and hear in the media and magazines, Facebook, politics. A lot of what happens and a lot of what you see around you is a promotion of the seven deadly sins: pride, envy, wrath, gluttony, lust, sloth, greed. You see these being promoted around you. You see those being lifted as things to aspire to. Now, here's the thing about sin. Sin is always goodness distorted. All those deadly sins start with a kernel of beauty, of truth. But what happens is they get taken out from what they were meant to be, and they become distorted. And in those distorted forms, they affect us and they diminish our spiritual lives. And our body is the doorway to the soul, and being surrounded by these distorted things have a way of distorting our soul. And so what do we do? In a world that's steeped in sin, how do we keep ourselves being spiritually formed in the right way, in a good way, in a loving way, in a way that God wants? Well, there are various strategies that people have used in the past. One is the Amish way, or the way of the hermit, where we try to withdraw from the world. Now, not many of you are going to go there, although a few of you would like to get a cabin in the woods and hibernate. But there is the cluster method as well, where we surround ourselves with everything Christian. We only have Christian friends and listen to Christian radio and read Christian books. And there are some of you who may choose to go there. The problem with those solutions, of course, is that, well, it's very hard to be salt and light in our world if we're not in our world. And Jesus' prayer was, you know, God, I pray not for you to take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. But when there are so many things around us that can form our soul in a warped way, how do we handle that? If we're not going to withdraw, or if we're not going to cluster, well, here's what I've noticed. When people start to think about and start to understand that the input of the what they do with their body matters, their first response is often legalism. They make these rules for themselves. Well, I'm only going to watch X amount of TV this week, or I'm only going to be on Facebook X amount of times, or I'm going to limit my intake here or there. And I know from experience that, well, that's not really helpful. See, the way forward is not somehow to withdraw from the world or somehow manage the sin around you. The way forward is to engage in goodness. Instead of figuring out what you're not going to do, figure out what is good and lovely and beautiful and true. Think about what is peaceful and grace-filled. You know, Lent starts in the middle of February, and some of you will choose to give up something over Lent. You know, chocolate seems to be a favorite. Some people give up things like Facebook. And there's something good about fasting. It reminds us that our bodies are not the boss of us. But I would urge you to take up something good as well. It may be contemplative scripture reading, or it may be serving our neighbor, or it may be caring for a friend, or learning new habits, godly habits, are a better way of going and dealing with our bodies. See, when you're engaged with what is good, you don't have to be nearly as concerned about being surrounded by what is bad. When you're allowing your body to do what is right and good around you, you can limit the inputs of what is bad that's coming into your soul. The start of spiritual formation is knowing that you are accepted by God. The way of spiritual formation is understanding that what you do with your body forms your soul. Now, let me take you to a spiritual formation of our minds and our hearts, or to put it another way, what do you do with the stuff that's going on in your heart? Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says, "Those who live according to the flesh," or the sinful nature, "have their minds flat on what the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of flesh cannot please God." See, you're going to be dominated by one of two things, your sinful nature or your spiritual nature, and it's going to depend on what you focus on. See, you're going to have desires inside you for both those things. You have these two natures. Your sinful nature wants to take the things that God meant for good and repurpose them for evil, and it's going to give you a desire for a distortion of what is good. It's going to push you towards the seven deadly sins, and there will be times when your desires just push you in that direction. And so instead of being glad about our own success, we become proud and self-focused, and we think of ourselves as better and than others and compare ourselves to others. You know, instead of being satisfied with what we have and building on that, we want what other people have. We envy. Instead of being angry over the injustice of the world, we just get angry when life isn't all about me. That's wrath. You get the idea. Our sinful nature wants to distort what was meant for good. And the sinful nature runs deep in all of us. You can focus on that. And the result of according to the scripture, is death. Instead of living life as you were intended to live, your insides will shrivel. When you become focused on the sinful nature, you'll become hostile to God. You won't be able to submit to God. You can't please God. But if you're a Christian, your sinful nature is not the real you. It's real, but it's not the real you. Put simply, the very definition of a Christian is one in whom Christ dwells. And if Christ lives in you, then the most important thing about you is that the Spirit of Jesus living in you goes deeper than your sinful nature. But your spiritual formation will depend on what you choose to focus on. You see, you'll find that Jesus has put desires in you as well. Desires to love, desires for peace, and desires for goodness, and desires for truth, desires for life. And your spiritual formation will depend on what desires you focus on what you choose to focus on. You'll find that the Spirit is urging you towards focusing on love and grace and goodness, on to rejoice and be patient, and on the truth. So you have a choice to make, and it's a real choice. Which nature are you going to live out of? Choosing to live out of your sinful nature, well, it brings death. Choosing to live out of your spiritual nature, it brings life. And here's what the Bible says about the spiritual nature. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought you about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're children of God. At the core of who we are, Christ lives there. And that we're led by God and we're loved by God. And when you're led by God and you get this deep sense about what's right and wrong, you get a sense of what's good and right and true. Some call it having a check in the Spirit, but you'll get a sense as you read the Word and let the Word of God form your mind and your heart. You'll get a sense of what God desires. That's spiritual formation, knowing that you're accepted by God. The way to spiritual formation is understanding that what we do with our bodies forms our souls. The challenge of spiritual formation is focusing in on the desires that God has put within us. You know, there's a steep price to pay for not growing up as a Christian. God is calling you to be spiritually formed in him. God wants you to know love and peace and joy. He invites you into a relationship with him. He also wants you to grow up in him so that you will experience all that he has for you. My question is, will you cooperate with him on the journey? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who they've been thinking about where they're at in their spiritual journey, and they want to be spiritually formed. I'm asking, Lord, that you would take them another step closer to you. I'm asking, Lord, that you would allow them to see who you for who you are, and that they would be led by you, that they would know that they belong, that they would know how to live well in this world, and that they would focus on what is good and true. The desires that you've put in them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for listening to Good News in the Morning. This program is on the air by God's grace and the donations of many faithful people. And today we want to give a shout-out to Bruce Newman. Thank you so much for sponsoring this program. My name is Brent Russett, and it has been a privilege to bring you Good News in the Morning.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website, and be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.